takes a lot to surprise me. I feel like I've been around a long enough time. I've seen it all. I get a text yesterday morning from a car friend of mine. Happens to be out. At least I thought he was out in California. His name is Joe, and he has a car in this year's Classic Car Calendar photo shoot for next year. I can tell you right now, it got the most votes of any of the cars in the calendar this year, or in the voting this year. It's a 1961 Impala that he just recently finished sort of restoring and customizing. And he calls, or he sends me a message. He's like, just got the 61 Impala stolen.
Nope.
I wrote it back. My reply was, holy F! ?! And Joe is on the phone with us. He is in Seattle, where he was traveling back from California.
Hi, Joe, with
his car. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Normally, when we get texts from car calendar owners or cars that are in our car calendar, the owners, when they say it was stolen, it's usually by the ex-wife. They lost it in a divorce. That's car people code. But this was stolen as in illegally taken. So tell us what happened. And you're out in, Seattle?
I'm heading back now. I left yesterday, and I'm about 100 miles away going to Boise, Idaho. I went to Pleasanton to show the car. It was supposed to be a real nice show for good guys. And then I was going up by Seattle to see a guy that buffs and details sands on paint. He's supposed to be one of the best in the country. I went to one of his classes, young guy. He welcomed me up there. I was going to visit him for a little bit, look at the car, show him what I've done, then travel down by Boise and see a guy by the name of Charlie Hutton that's probably the top painter in the world.
Okay.
And kill time, go to Denver to the car show September 10th. And so I get to by Seattle Monday, this last Monday, and got there a little late and decided to just go to a hotel, go out and eat, and then unload the car Tuesday. So I'm in the hotel Monday night, went out with him, got up Tuesday morning, probably about 7:30, walked out back, no truck, no trailer, no car. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I did something last night and parked it somewhere different, you know, and I walked around the place twice.
So wait a second, you slept at the hotel, the classic car is in the trailer, which is all locked up and still hitched to your pickup truck, which was towing everything. It's all gone.
So I walk in and I asked if there was any chance that maybe they would have towed it off. I was in the wrong spot. She said no. I asked if they had video cameras because it was gone. Well, they told me I had to call 911 and report it. And so I did. I sat there and called 911. It still really didn't hit me, you know. And the lady, she had to have done a very, very prompt job. I couldn't believe it. And told her red truck, red trailer, Illinois, described it all to her, described what was inside the car. And probably within about 20 minutes, an officer come in. And he's sitting there. Of course, I got to fill out the paperwork with serial numbers and all that.
Sure.
And I'm sitting there in the lobby, and over his phone, all the communications with the police, another officer calls and says, What color is that car you're looking for? And the guy I was sitting with kind of told him, he goes, I found it, and it's down in the woods, and I'm chasing them right now.
Uh-oh.
And I'm sitting there. Now, between that time, within about 15 minutes, I put it on Facebook because social media, I thought, if somebody sees a red truck and trailer from Illinois, maybe I would get lucky, you know? And then it happened that fast, and I'm sitting there, and the first thing I thought, if I put this back on Facebook, everybody's going to think I'm a nut. You know, I just couldn't believe it. Some cop found it, and he's on the radio, and I'm listening to him chasing these guys through the woods, asking for backup, saying he's out of breath, you know? And I sat there with disbelief.
So, okay.
And then about another 10 minutes, another cop calls and says, I got the truck and trailer.
Oh.
So they give me the addresses. My buddy picks me up, and we go. And first, we follow up a cop down this long lane and field. We see this new SUV smashed through a fence, you know. And the cop goes, no, your truck is down the road a little bit. So we went back, got the truck and trailer. Of course, they busted into it and the ignition and that. Got in it, went about a half a mile up the road. down a big hill, almost like a motorcycle hill climb hill. Down the bottom in the weeds is my car sitting there with five other officers.
Now, hold on a second. Let's back up.
Wow.
Do you know from the time that you realized that your car, your trailer, and your truck were stolen from the hotel parking lot, do you know from that moment to when it was taken, how much time had elapsed?
No, I got in at midnight, and I got up at 7. So, but they got 7 miles away is all the further that it was. Which in traffic is probably 20 minutes, but it was only 7-8 miles away in a town called Milton. And what happened was this officer showed up when I was there, and he was going down the road, down this road, in a little Honda red car. So nobody knew he was a police officer.
Is he off duty at this point, or is he undercover?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if he was going to work or whether he was. He was in a regular outfit, so he must have been going to work.
Okay.
And he's not driving a police car at this point either.
He has to stop in a little red Honda car, stop in the road, because five individuals were pushing my car across the road with my tie-down straps dragging, pushing it down that hill. And he has to stop, and he's a hot rod guy. And he said, "This ain't right. That car shouldn't be going like that." So he called for backup, and he turned around and went down that hill and blocked him in. And down at the bottom was a rental SUV, a new SUV, and a Dodge Dakota. And a bunch of them jumped in them vehicles and went through the woods and fences and totaled them out.
Trying to get away.
Three out of the five guys.
Okay, so they're pushing your classic car, which was trailered. It's got tie-down straps dragging underneath, and there's five guys pushing the vehicle down the road. And I'm trying to imagine what I would do in that situation if I saw that. Hey, you guys need a tow truck?
I couldn't believe it. So, you know, I haven't quite figured it out yet, because somebody must have been in the car and steered it and controlled the brakes, or it would have went down and hit the trees and went in the creek.
Yeah.
So when the cop turned around and went down there, they had my front seats forward and the backs of them flipped forward and had the back seat cushion already up and out.
Oh.
And he said within about 15 minutes they would have tore that car apart. But they were doing it carefully, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm having a hard time figuring if somebody knew the car and wanted the interior or what that was about. But they couldn't get in the car, and they couldn't start it, because you got to get in the trunk a special way, and my battery's back there disconnected.
Well, how did they start your pickup truck?
Battery up, and they go, "How are you going to get it up the hill?" And I said, "I'm going to turn it around and drive it up." Well, how else am I going to get it out? And it was quite a deal.
So wait a second. Let's back up. Is this like a professional auto theft ring? Or, I mean, what are the odds you can't see into your trailer? Yeah. How would they know that you were there?
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they wanted. The cops thought they wanted the truck to disassemble the truck for parts, but they took the truck and trailer and parked it, and they actually used the winch and backed my car out. Whoa. You know, I don't get it. But the cops said that they were staying at different motels in that area and scoping things out. So I don't know. You know, the cops said they have never ever recouped a car that fast and not been hurt.
Well, and it shows a lot of planning. You've got a crew of people. They rented a vehicle with enough space to store the parts that they were obviously going to strip off of it.
Yeah.
So they had to have known what they were doing. Were there reports of other car thefts in that area?
Not that I know of. Not that night, you know, not that night, but.
Yeah. And your car, Joe, it's basically a one of one since you restored it customized it. So the parts off of it just don't seem, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like they would fence well.
Not at all. Not at all.
And
not at all.
They took the seats out of, that's about as far as they got on your classic car. How much damage was done to it? Like, I hear them pushing it, and then it goes into the woods, and I'm thinking, oh, boy.
Well, it starts and runs, and everything seems fine. Of course, we took it to my buddy's house, and some hot rod guys helped me. We washed it all and cleaned it up. But then, you know, after that, I just kind of put it in the trailer and locked it up, and I'm ready to probably go straight back home.
Yeah, fun's over. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No more traveling, no more fun.
And how long it now, this car is not, I mean, by the time you send us the picture for the classic car calendar voting, you hadn't had this car out very long, right?
No, I was actually, I believe I was in Nashville, and I was sitting there at a car show back a while back, you know, and I just got it back from Florida having the interior done, and I thought, you know, them guys' this calendar's got to be popping up sometime. I just sent some pictures just by accident, you know.
Joe Nichols is on the phone with us, and he's telling us the story of his classic car, which will be featured next year, the Dwyer Michaels Classic Car Calendar. You could see what it looks like at twodorks.com. Just the shape of it and the nature of it would draw attention. Now imagine this vehicle is being pushed down a road by five people and there's toe straps dragging behind it.
I crap myself as soon as you said it had gotten stolen before I knew the rest of the story, Joe, because this car is so beautiful. And if you go to twodorks.com, you'll see. Plus, there's also a picture of the road it got pushed down that Joe sent to me.
Holy crap. It looks like it's in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's up for a candidate for one of the top eight custom cars of the year, which will be announced in November. I'm sure I won't win that, but I'm one of eight.
But your story is going to put it. It should nudge it up in the voting.
Yeah, you can't. It's quite crazy. Them guys are pretty smart. They even left their cell phone on my phone charger in my truck, and I wish I would have kept it. I give it to the police, but I'm sure they would have wanted it back.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of nice because at the end of the day, the cops looked at me and told me, they go, they had let him go. Up here in Seattle, there's a rule or law. They just let him go.
Wait a second. What kind of, is it not illegal to steal a car in Seattle?
Did you tell them where you're from, catch and release is for fish only, not for perps?
They said that if they were driving it down the road, they legally couldn't arrest them.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah,
their hands are tied. Them officers did what can I say? They were with me all day. It was the only one they said they've ever recovered like that. You know, I'm very glad.
You're so lucky.
Well, the odds of this happening, and if you're just tuning in, Joe goes out of the hotel and realizes that his truck, which is still hooked up to the trailer, which has inside of it his prized classic car, all of it is gone. And he calls 911, and within 20 minutes, an off-duty cop, it sounds like, passed five guys pushing a classic car, and they asked what color it was, and this is it. So it's astronomical, the odds. How did they get your truck started? You didn't leave the keys in it, I'm assuming.
The cops showed me. They just popped, smacked the lock in on the door, and then there's a pair of channel locks inside, and mine's a 2001. They just snapped the ignition, put a screwdriver in it, and took off. In fact, everybody in the United States can start my truck now with a screwdriver.
Well, so I'm gonna jot that down.
Where do you keep it?
You know, and it's funny because you have a sense of security, false security, don't you? If somebody wants your stuff, this is a group of trained, if they would only use their skills for good, but this is a group of trained guys, each of whom is part of a team that has a job.
And it's like Ocean's 11 of the car world.
I suppose if you're gonna move forward and you're gonna get into, you know, carrying cars, I don't know if you're brand new in the car collector hobby or not, but you might want to disable that ignition a second way, huh?
Yeah, I've thought about that with this truck. You know, to be honest with you, I kind of thought that all week I had this little thing on my shoulder, thinking I had to pop the hood every night and pop the fuses out that controls the ECM for the engine. So if anybody gets in the truck, it's not going
to
start.
Well, let's go back to the hotel. Do they have any security camera footage showing this?
They had one camera on the back side, the other side of the hotel.
Oh.
One camera. he says, well, we're going to put more up now. I thought, well, you know.
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, that's very helpful.
Well, yeah. That wouldn't matter, though.
Boy, I'm telling you.
As far as these guys being in jail, a video of them stealing it wouldn't be any more helpful than the fact that they stole it.
No. But to see how they did it is, I mean, the hotel's got to have some liability here. I mean, or maybe they don't.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Just about the car itself, because if you go to Two Dorks, you can see it's not. This is not your typical car. You've got hours and hours and hours invested in this car. From the time that you acquired the 61 to the time it was show ready, and some guys feel like it never is, but a time that it was done in your mind, how long did that take?
6 years.
6 years of your life taken in the span of hours, probably minutes. I can't imagine the sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach, and then the opposite feeling when you saw when you heard the guy was chasing the dudes who took it.
Yeah, I'm listening to it. I'm listening to him on the radio. So I'm sitting there filling paperwork out, listening to that guy saying he's out of breath and needs backup, chasing him. And I'm like, I'm just blown away.
Wow. Send somebody who's in better shape.
Wow.
Run faster.
Do you have a, I'm not asking you for a suitcase full of receipts or anything, but do you have an approximate value in terms of, like, you know, if you had to insure it, what would you insure it for? Or are you not going to tell us?
Well, I don't know if a guy could ever insure it for enough, to be honest with you. You know, you put so much in, all guys that put so much into something like that, I don't think there's any way possible you can ever recoup that money. I do have a four or five numbers of guys in California that are interested in buying it, but I never put a number on it, you know.
I
could never take it to an auction and pay them 10-12%. It just wouldn't work, you know.
No.
But I can tell you that, you know, I kind of got aggravated about at the end. Yeah, I put so many years in it, and I wanted the interior done, and I had it at one place and it sat for 5 months and wasn't touched. And I'm a friend of the guy. That was fine. He bought all the material. So I packed up and hauled it all the way down to Florida.
Jeez.
And they did do it. But you could probably go to a dealership in the Quad Cities and probably buy a new four-door, four-wheel-drive truck if you wanted to versus my interior.
Yeah,
so your interior for the interior. You know, so it's fair to say that what was in the back in the trailer, your classic car, was worth more than the trailer, the vehicle towing it, your children, your house. It's worth your life, the most valuable thing you have on this earth, dollar amount-wise, is in that trailer, and you realize it's gone.
Wow.
Oh. You know, them guys now, you know, a car, them real nice cars out there, you know, they get 40,000, 50,000. I know a guy, usually it's $150,000 to paint a car and
to
have
paint it
turned, you know, just to paint. You know, I did that myself, you know, so I did a lot myself, so that helped out, you know. I mean, I got a business
though
in Galesburg.
Joe, let me ask you an important question, and I don't know your marital status, your family status. I know you texted Dwyer. Did you call your wife or significant other to say, hey, guess what happened?
No, I would have called her maybe 7 years ago, but I don't have to call her anymore. Supper's not ready at home anymore.
Oh, what you do call her, we can't say on the radio.
There's no dinner.
I gotcha.
There's no dinner. There's no dinner anymore.
Oh, boy.
We have all of the pictures, not only of Joe's car, and by the way, these pictures that Jenna Wardlow took for us for the calendar, we took some of the pictures from the calendar shoot and put them up just without the model or anything, but just so you could see how beautiful this car is. And then there it is, sitting majestically at the bottom of a ravine and
down a dirt road.
Yeah, but really, it looks quite picturesque there as well. Like, that could be in the calendar too. You know, except for the cops
all
around.
Looks like I was on a hill climb. Yeah.
Looks like one of Dwyer's harebrained ideas for a really great location shoot for the car calendar.
Now I have an idea. If you give me the GPS coordinates on that.
Hey, Joe, concerning when the police out there in, it was in Seattle, right? Is that where this all went down, Seattle?
Milton, right outside Seattle.
All right. The policy there is, with car thieves, it's catch and release, basically. Well, a listener of ours, Chris, said, tell Joe, bring these guys to Texas.
they can release them there because we get to shoot them down here. So there's something to think about.
Yeah, that's why I say I wish I would have kept the phone. I'm sure they would have wanted it back. That would have been kind of nice to give it back to them, you know?
Well, thank you for sharing your story. Yeah. I couldn't imagine and hats off to those cops. I'm sure they're going to say it was just the guy was in the right place at the right time. But
holy cow.
I can't believe
at the right time. If it would have been 10 minutes different, the car would have been dissected, you know, gone. Just that fast. Just that cop sitting there watching them and being a hot rod guy on top of that, looking at two tight straps.
What are the odds?
Behind the car. Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, I could write a book for sure.
And Joe, was the anxiety flat, that panic attack when you realized, oh my God, it hasn't been towed away, it has been stolen? Did you sweat through your shirt, or did it hit you like lightning?
I really tried to sit there and hold it together, not believing it, you know. And then I put it on Facebook, and then right off the bat, my son-in-law called, you know, offered help and that, and just, wow, just hit you, you know. And then all of a sudden the cop comes in, and like, this is real. You're sitting there really, really trying to hold it together. Then all of a sudden, you hear on the radio, I found it, and I'm chasing him through the woods. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Go get him. Go, go, go.
You got to write this up and submit the story to a magazine or something. I'm not the car guy here, but this is unbelievable.
When I got done, I took a picture of all them cops, and truthfully, I stood there with the guy, and I said, do you guys ever get together and have beers at night or anything? And they go, yeah, we all hang out a little bit, man. And I tried to compensate for them in that. And absolutely no way possible would they accept anything, you know. And they said, go back to my local town and donate it to something. I'm going to. I think every year I need to send something up there for them to give to children or just something, because it was unbelievable.
Support, you know? Benevolent
that's
fund.
I really appreciate them, guys.
Yeah. You know? They'll tell you they were just doing their job and they were in the right place at the right time, but it's especially out in that part of the country where they are, I don't want to get into the politics of it, but you know the magnitude of the job.
And you can see the cops. We got pictures of them from Joe up at Two Dorks as well. And you know what? We got a great suggestion, that one picture of your car sitting with the cops sitting around it. I think we are going to add that to the calendar. This year we're doing sort of a page of interesting car stories. And I think this is just a great additional story to the fact that this, you know, what a journey this car has been on, and you right along with it.
Yeah, and way to show up everybody else. Here's Joe's story. The guy who story comes in second place. Well, it used to be blue, and now it's red.
you can see Joe's car, provided we can get it out there to the Rod and Custom Show in January at the Bend Expo in East Moline. I was worried when you were pulling it out of the trailer for the photo shoot, not making sure it didn't get scuffed up. But, you know, now that I know it's been down a hill and back up,
let's do this. Let's go.
I'm good. That's really, I'm good now.
That's going to reduce my offer. Maybe 13, 14 grand.
Well, have a safe trip back.
Get the heck back here, man.
All right. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Joe.
See you guys.
All right. See ya. Crazy. Unbelievable. Go and the pictures of how remote this is. What? So this is an operation. They're like running a chop shop or something somewhere.
Yeah.
They rent vehicles with storage in the back, strip the parts off of it, throw it in there, and ditch what's left to get the heck out of there, right?
Yeah. One of the pictures at Two Dorks is the picture of the SUV that tried to take off when he says he's chasing them.
Yeah.
And it ends up in the middle of in the middle of the woods. They had to tow it out of there. And Joe got a picture of the SUV. That's basically totaled. It's an incredible story. The
one police officer appears to be about 3.5 feet tall.
Yeah,
what's going on there?
That just could be an angle. Okay. Joe's also kind of tall.
Okay.
So if he's taking the picture, and then the guy on his left, that's the undercover officer.
Oh.
The guy in the hat and whatever shirt that is. But he's the officer who's also a car guy who was off duty and saw guys pushing a car, which is not uncommon to see guys pushing a classic car. That happens a lot in this.
Yeah, but five of them with toe straps dragging behind it? What do you say to them?
It was the toe straps behind it that alerted the guy that this is not copacetic. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. It's the difference of 10 minutes between recovering your car and all of that 6 years of time, effort, and sweat equity lost.
Ugh. Amazing. Well, you could hear him getting kind of choked up about that.
I did hear that.
Back in a minute. It's 9:50.
You're listening to the Dwyer and Michaels Morning Show, live on the 97X app.